Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin AC, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Ryan, I usually ask you, where do you want to start? If you don't mind, why don't you start with Mexico City and your experience?
Yes, Kevin, we were planning on doing this entire podcast in Spanish, but you know, you talked me out of it, so that's good. We both are just now back from Mexico City, where we watched the Padres split a two-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks on Saturday and Sunday. It was my first time there, my first time to Estadio Alfredo Harpe Lu. Kevin, I had a blast. The baseball wasn't exactly the cleanest both days. The last three innings of yesterday's game took 3 days. But my goodness, what an experience. Let's start there. What was sort of your takeaway from just getting back to Mexico City for you and for the Padres? And what'd you make of the last few days?
It's a neat city. I mean, and then when you get to the stadium, I mean, it's like baseball, people, food, paradise. Maybe baseball paradise, a little exaggeration, or maybe it's the other things that make the baseball tolerable. Fairly fun for the players, maybe not the pitchers, to play there. And I mean, you cannot beat, especially if you're a Padres fan, and I know that you talk to a lot of them, like, you just can't beat like being there in that atmosphere.
Yeah. It was every Padre fan who I talked to called it, you know, one of the best sports experiences they've ever had. And it's hard to argue.
That's cool.
I mean, it's cool. A 20,000 seat stadium. It felt intimate. You know, Kevin, I know you and I were talking at the stadium yesterday. It reminded me a little bit of, I've been to the College World Series in Omaha, kind of the same vibe, right? Everybody there is super, super into baseball. It's this stadium where it's small, and so you're not going to have that sort of cavernous Coliseum effect. Everybody's right on top of you, and everybody's super into it. I would compare it to something like the College World Series in Omaha, except the food's much better, the music is much better, and there's just a crackle in the air in Mexico City that I just thought made it just an unforgettable weekend for me.
It's cool. It is. Since we sometimes go behind the scenes here on this show, look, I'm back. I'm glad to be back to Major League Stadiums and United States Wi-Fi and, you know, working conditions that are a little bit better so that I can bring the information to the folks, you know, on the website, in the paper, in the newsletter a little bit easier. So I am grateful for that. And I am going to tell you this, the Padres are grateful to be back at sea level.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They open up a three-game series here against the Chicago Cubs starting tonight at Petco Park, 6:40 tonight, 6:40 tomorrow, 1:10 on Wednesday. And then they play the White Sox at home. So if you're a fan of Chicago sports, it's a good week to be in San Diego, I guess. Let's start the Padres. Their record, I mean, they've been incredible even after this split. You know, it's still one of the best records in Major League Baseball. They're winning in ways that, to me, don't feel sustainable. But they're winning nonetheless. I think Saturday was a perfect example of that. You know, it didn't hit particularly well, but hit when it really mattered. What'd you make of sort of the way they're winning so far?
Yeah, I mean, third best record in the majors, tied for the second best 27-game start in Padres history. I know it's with 2022, and I believe that's the only other time that they've been this good. What is it now? Honestly, I don't keep track of the record at this point in the season. So what is it, 18-9? But anyway, it's behind the Braves, the Dodgers. Now, you can look at it like, well, that's unfortunate because, you know, the Dodgers, they are in the NL West. But anyway, how are they winning? I mean, you say it's unsustainable. I say it's unsustainable like this. That doesn't mean that either one of us are saying they won't kind of figure some things out, start hitting better, and still win, you know, at something close to this. This is like 109 win pace. It's not going to keep up, almost certainly. Not going to keep up like this. And by that, we mean that, like, you know, it's funny, their run differential's fine, but like, that's a three-run walk-off, a four-run walk, a grand slam walk-off. Like, the games are a lot closer, and they're not leading in these games. Like, until the end, a lot of times. 9 wins decided in the last 3 innings, meaning, like, the deciding run was scored in the 7th, 8th, or 9th of a regular game, and then a couple times in, you know, walk-off fashion at home. They've only lost two of those games. That tends to even out over the course of the season, or maybe it doesn't, because they're so special. And that is where you got to give them credit. They believe they're special. Okay, well, I guess keep showing us all year that you're special. We've got some guys that have got to start hitting better. Now, of course, Manny Machado hits two home runs yesterday. Jackson Merrill has two hits, and the Padres lose. Look, you know, that, let's get back to sea level and see what happens. But I think that you and I are on the same page. I think that people in the organization, maybe not the players that are admitting it out loud or even believe it, but people in the organization are like, it can't keep going like this.
Right. Now, I think that this is a little bit of a complex thought too, Kevin. Things can be true. That what the Padres are doing so far earlier in the year is special and is indicative of maybe a different kind of approach or a reflection of the better lineup depth that they have this year as opposed to last year, right? I think that we can say there is this is a thing that good teams do, right? On the other hand, I think we can say that almost no team can play like this for stretches longer than about a month or maybe two. And that at some point the Padres are going to have to take a 4-0 lead and win 5-1 instead of having to scramble every night or make it interesting every night. Does that make sense?
Ryan, I'm going to say something that neither one of us deserves to have said to us very often. And that is, well said. Yes, I think you explained that complex thought very well. Or maybe it was only complex to you and I. No, that is exactly it, man. And I'm getting tired of writing it. But it's the story of this team so far. Hey, yay. You can't see me now because, you know, I'm on my way back from the airport. But I'm clapping, you know, maybe you can hear me. But like, way to go, guys. It is absolutely impressive. It's just unsustainable for the bullpen. It's unsustainable for the offense to suggest that you're going to have like four hits through the first seven innings, let's say, and then in the eighth inning, put together a four-run inning. I mean, come on. There's a reason that they have now five comeback victories from at least four runs down. And that is, I believe, three off the team record. And it's one away from what, like the second place, like the second most times that Padres teams have done that. And the team record is like back in the 70s, some anomaly, you know, when they stunk. And then one of the times that they've done it six times in a season was 2024. Very good team that, you know, a lot of people believe was World Series worthy. And then the 1988 team. So like really good teams do this. But none of those teams had done it in like the first 26 games, which was 2 days ago, was when the Padres did that for the fifth time. So just all this to say that it's unsustainable. It has been fun as heck, not boring. Now this team's almost never boring. But like they'll take some boring here coming up if they can win.
Right. Let's drill down just a little bit deeper and then we'll move on from this topic. Kevin, what are they doing in this stretch that gives you reason to believe that they can be a deep run playoff team? What do you see there that is sort of a mark of a really good team?
When they do it, and honestly, even in innings they don't score, they're doing it. They're putting pressure on the pitcher. They're having an abundance of good at-bats. Now, we say this is sort of a nebulous, somewhat mysterious term, quality at-bat, right? It doesn't mean that everyone is. It doesn't mean that anyone is every single time. But you two or three good at-bats together, and then, okay, a bad one. Or in those innings where they are scoring two, three, four runs, the crooked numbers, they're putting together six out of seven awesome at-bats or seven out of seven, because a good at-bat can be an out. They're making a pitcher throw pitches. They're not missing, during these at-bats, missing mistakes. They're doing what the productive outs, they lead the major leagues in productive outs. I have not given that enough attention. That is as good as I've seen a Padres team do in a while. Maybe you could argue early 24, late 24. But like, this is some good stuff that you're seeing. That's really cool. Probably some games where, and this is what good teams do, you just find a way, it kind of ends up meshing where, oh, you only scored two runs? That's okay. Your pitching staff only gave up one. You know, you allowed six runs? That's okay. You guys scored seven. Like, does it mean that there's not some ways to critique them or that they're not critiquing themselves? But like, they won the game. And so you find a way to win. And that is super impressive. The coming back, because you are in the seventh inning, the at-bats you took in the third inning are paying off. That's impressive.
Right. I would also say this. If this is a team that's going to make a deep playoff run or maybe even go to the World Series, you're going to need to get career seasons out of guys. Okay. The thing that encourages me at this stage of the season, and Kevin, it's been a month, one month, but at this stage of the season, I am really encouraged by Gavin Sheets. I am really, really, really encouraged by Luis Camposano and really encouraged by tonight's starting pitcher, Randy Vasquez. These are three guys who, if they continue on this trajectory, have career type seasons, could really give them a boost here as we head into the latter half of the season and even the playoffs.
Yeah. Gavin Sheets is showing that, hey, he is maybe, it does appear, the guy he was last year, if not better. Luis Camposano, my goodness, we could talk about him almost every day. I just really believe that the confidence is there. We saw flashes of this talent. We listen to baseball people who say, yeah, it's a little puzzling that he, you know, now he is a guy who's been a little polarizing among baseball people, but like, you know, there's a consensus he had talent, maybe not all-star talent, but certainly talent. And that's fantastic. Randy Vasquez, stepping up, man. Again, like Gavin Sheets, but even probably more so, like every year a little bit better, and nothing phases him. Six in Colorado is becoming like just kind of one of his characteristics, right? That's just super impressive. I don't think that Ryan and I are saying that he's a number one, but let's say this. They have Joe Musgrove and Nick Pivetta sidelined indefinitely. And so that means Michael King has to step up. Okay, all right, that's what you're paying him for. Randy Vasquez, man, stepping up to be your, right now, your number two. That he's doing what you need him to do. That's big. So yeah, Ryan, I think maybe it was the Mexican food, the Mexican water. Maybe it was the burger at the Marriott. I told you, world-class burger. But you are making a lot of sense today.
The flip side of that, things that give you cause for concern. Kevin, I can think of two giant flashing red warning signs here early in the season. But I'd like to ask you first, what worries you?
Worry. Okay. I would like when you say warning signs, I go, okay, Tatis is, you know, kind of had some poor at bats in a row, end of Colorado, start of Mexico City. But for the most part, he's okay, fine. But golly, when is he going to hit a home run? But that, you know what? Okay. He has to some extent earned us. Okay. It'll be all right. You know, I think Jake Cronenworth has to some extent earned for us to say, all right, we'll just accept what Jake is, and that is kind of streaky, can really carry you. I said it, yes, he can, for little stretches, carry you, and you'll take his defense, you'll take his leadership, you'll take his gutty at bats, but he can't keep hitting whatever it is now, right? It's a little early for me to be knowing, but here's what I do know, it sucks. He can't keep hitting like that, and he's getting frustrated, of course. You know, he cares a lot. And so that can't keep going. I'm not going to say it leaked into his defense, but that was kind of uncharacteristic. That was his fault yesterday, the collision at second base. And so, you know, that's a concern, I would say. What do you got?
Yeah, the starting pitcher health, I think, is a big one for me.
Amen.
Have arguably your two best start, well, not two of your three best starters, sort of out. And, you know, I think that if they do think that they're a team that can go deep in the playoffs, they probably need to go get a guy or two between now and the trade deadline. That is concerning to me. Concerning to me is Jake Cronenworth big time. I know that this was sort of your typical flyer acquisition. And so I'm not going to freak out about this, but Nick Castellanos is not hitting. You've alluded a couple of times in the last couple of days, Kevin, that he could be on borrowed time if he doesn't start hitting. To me, that's a concern. And, you know, is it possible, especially after seeing a little bit of Sung Moon Song the last couple of days, you know, I wonder if there's a chance that he could be up at some point, maybe give Jake Cronenworth a little bit of a reset. And then what do you do there? Does that mean you're parting ways with Nick Castellanos to get Song back on the active roster? I don't know.
Well, here's what I know is that, yes, Nick Castellanos is on borrowed time, which doesn't mean that, look, I'd be surprised if he's not starting tonight against the lefty because he has not had any action and it's just time. You already sent Sung Mun Song down today. And so, like, you know, time to get, see, you know, Nick is on that borrowed time where, hey, we're going to give you some at-bats and see what happens here. Can you get right? Right. We get that you're in a different situation you've ever been in. Let's see if you can, you know, hit for us here. If not, all right, later. And it's time to start looking at, you know, who's getting hot down in AAA. And likely it's going to be Sung Mun Song. It's what he was signed to be, was your kind of utility fill-in infielder who also can, you know, give you a little bit of pop off the bench and speed off the bench. So yeah, absolutely, man. And the starting pitching, look, I haven't got anybody to truly like confirm this in the strong way that I'm going to say it, but they do expect those two guys back. So I'm with you. Go out and get another starter because, first off, if those two guys, Nick Pivetta and Joe Musgrove, come back and they're the best they've ever been, wouldn't hurt to get another, you know, top half for the rotation guy. But, like, they do believe that they're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason, not that those two guys could be pitching now or that they could be pitching in a month, but that it's okay. Let's just completely take this as slow as we possibly can, basically, with these guys, kind of a la Dodgers and what they do with some of their guys. Now, that's not, I'm not saying the Padres are in the situation the Dodgers are in, where they can have Blake Snell or Tyler Glasnow. You know, that's cool. We'll just, you know, in September, we'll get going. I'm not saying that's where the Padres are, but it's a little bit like that of, hey, we've got a good enough team to make it to the postseason. We need to be our best when we're there. So that's what my educated suspicion is, that that's what's happening now. And so I think going out and getting a starter here in the next couple months, maybe a little closer to the deadline, you know, in addition to Lucas Giolito, by the way, is probably what's going to happen.
Yep. And don't forget Griffin Canning also. I mean, he's a guy who could be up here in the next couple of weeks at the very least. So, you know, I think those are two guys who could definitely be an answer here, especially if some of these starting pitchers who are off to a hot start sort of come back to earth a little bit. I think that would make sense. Not for nothing, Kevin, Jace Bowen, a guy who I know you like and saw a lot of in spring training, is playing really well at AAA. He has an OPS of nearly 1,000, seven home runs or so already. You know, maybe it's
here's the thing when you get into that,
like him, but
yeah, here's it exactly. But here's the thing when you get into that,
right?
It's like that's Bryce Johnson. You know, if Jace Bowen is what his potential is, that's Bryce Johnson plus.
Okay, right. Not necessarily a Nick Castellanos replacement. More Bryce Johnson. Right.
Well, he could be, except for that then you now have two speedy outfielders playing good defense. So it's like, now what do we do? Because Bryce Johnson ain't getting a lot of playing time already. So I'm with you. Like, absolutely. Now, I'm a big Bryce Johnson guy. Take a look at, you know, just what he's done the last year plus, and you'll know why. He's a guy that does help you win. He's a, you know, he's a Tyler Wade, maybe not the glue guy, but he does all these things for you, right? That's great. You got to have those guys. But like him and Jace Bowen are almost the same. And the Padres would have to say, well, we've got this Bryce Johnson who's proved to us he can do this for us, or we're going to take a flyer on Jace Bowen, because Bryce Johnson could bail and get picked up on waivers. I'm not saying he would, but you know, they can't just send Bryce Johnson down. So there's a lot of complication there, and you need that, probably that extra infielder. But I think that one thing that you and I have talked about, we're leaving unsaid here, is it does seem that whatever happens here, Ty France is, you know, earned his way to stay on this team.
Yeah. Two home runs in Saturday's win against the Diamondbacks.
He's their best defensive first baseman. He's hitting the ball hard. Yep.
Yeah. No, he's been great. I mean, and this is a guy who there was no room for him. When he signed with them, there was no room for him. He was a World Baseball Classic fill-in and let's see what happens kind of guy, and has hit and fielded his way into, I think, some pretty good job security after the first month of the season.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I really do think so. Now, look, it's funny. Like, outside of the Sun Mun Song the move, that which was just to bring up a 27th man, and he's already been back down. It's funny. Like, I gotta look back. I gotta make a note to myself. They haven't made a single position player transaction. Correct. Like, we're well, I know it's only a month into the season, but like, yeah, it's interesting. They're like, no position player injury, no performance, caused move. It's been the same 13 guys, and that will change, but it's like, it's interesting that it's just those guys.
Yep. I would say last year too. I mean, the Padres, I think, gave guys like Jason Hayward and Yuli Gurriel about a month. Right. I mean, that was the expiration date on both those guys was what? I mean, for all intents and purposes, early May.
Hayward, let's see. I was in when I talked to him about this particular topic. So I think that was June that he was gone. It was like a week or two later. Gurriel was beginning of May, which was, I remember being like, yeah, well, that's what I said was going to happen. Because, you know, remember on opening day where everybody was freaking out, not everybody, and a lot of people freaking out, he was on the roster. Yeah. Castellanos was that guy this year, but better than those two you expected, or the Padres expected. It's a very, very fair comparison.
Yep, absolutely. Cubs in town for a 3-game series starting tonight. Kevin, real quickly, going to go through the starting pitchers tonight. Matthew Boyd, we remember him from the playoffs last year. He's 1-1 with a 5.79 ERA this season. Faced the Padres twice in last year's regular season. Pitched to a 1.59 ERA. Then shoved in the wild card series, went 4 1/3, allowed a 1 earned run. He goes up against Randy Vasquez, who's been excellent this year, 2-0 with a 1.88 ERA. Continuing one of my favorite stats of all time, Kevin, the Padres have won all 5 of Randy Vasquez's starts this year. And if you go back to last year, it's, and again, I'm just pulling this number out of thin air, it's something like 18 of 20. I mean, when he starts, they win, which to me is just a fascinating stat on Randy Vasquez. So he goes tonight for the Padres. Tomorrow night, Edward Cabrera going up against Walker Buehler. Cabrera was a big offseason acquisition for the Cubs. Buehler, you know, he is who he is at this point. I mean, 1-2 with a 5.75 ERA. But, you know, it's somebody who's still clearly trying to work through some stuff on the mound. And then Jameson Taillon going up against Matt Waldron on Wednesday. I, for one, Kevin, am very curious to see how Matt Waldron pitches at Petco Park. A bigger field, coming off a couple really weird starts, I think. What do you make of any of that?
Well, I am too. I'm glad you said that, because, yes, these are guys we have questions about. Walker Buehler really seemed to have found his groove, and then he had to pitch at Coors Field. He clearly does not like Coors Field. I'm not making an excuse for him. He wasn't making excuses, but like, that's just a reality. And then Matt Waldron, you know, look, he's good enough that when he's really good, he could be really good. Will he ever be that guy again? I don't know. So yeah, well said. Really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of each of these episodes. First of all, two things. This is a two-parter. Number one, how amazing was our photographer, Meg McLaughlin, this weekend? Not simply taking amazing photos, but lugging 100 pounds of stuff with her to another country and then rolling her stuff around everywhere. She, to me, was the MVP of the weekend.
I know you're going to call us out for not carrying Meg's stuff around, huh, Ryan?
We volunteered.
Yes, no, she's absolutely amazing. She's just one of the best I've ever worked with. She's, I mean, really.
Yes. I just came away very impressed with, I don't think our average reader, Kevin, understands the physical demands on photographers. And when you are on the road in another country and it's really hot, you know, she doesn't get to sit in a press box or sit in the shade like you and I did. That was a grueling weekend for her. And so there's that. Number two, can we double back on Mexico City for a minute? Just, I think it was so nice to spend time with you and to experience this. What was your favorite part of your trip to Mexico City? And you cannot say the Marriott burger.
The people. I mean, the people, like, the honestly, the people that most of the people I ran into that lived there, the fans that were so happy to be there, was just a different vibe. It's neat. Like, you know, I cannot stress enough how much of an interruption to the season it is to the players, to the organization, to me. But like, you just have to appreciate when you're there the vibe, and it was really cool. What about you?
Yeah, it's same thing. I mean, in general, I loved, first of all, the stadium, Estadio Alfredo Harpelú. I thought was just surpassed every expectation I had. You and I took a little bit of a private tour of their museum there on site. I thought that was really neat. And yeah, it was just fantastic all the way around. Regular season baseball, Kevin, shouldn't feel like the Super Bowl. Both games, I thought, felt like the Super Bowl there in Mexico City. So it's excellent.
Great point. Love.
Yep. We're up against it here on time. So I will let you go. Padres Cubs 3-game series at Petco Park starting tonight at 6:40. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.